were the early translators lunatics? By W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume XXIV. September, 1944. Number 2. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. If the early translators thought it could be true that Christ will reign endlessly, and that he will deliver the kingdom up to the Father at the end, and become subject to the Father, they must have been lunatics. Luke 1:33 says, "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever," and Isaiah 15:24-28 says, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that did put all things under him, that God may be all in all." When the translators translated Luke 1:33, if they thought forever meant endless duration, in view of the fact that Christ will not reign endlessly, Isaiah 15:24-28, I repeat, they must have been lunatics. Is anyone ready to accuse them of being crazy? I certainly am not. They were doing the best they could with the words they had to work with. And think how foolish it would have been to say he shall reign endlessly, and then say, in the next breath, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of course, there will be no end to his kingdom if he shall reign endlessly. There was no need to say it. But if he is to reign for a period and then deliver up his kingdom to the Father, so that the kingdom shall have no end, even though his reign shall come to an end, the last phrase of verse 33 is necessary. And that is what he shall do. He shall reign till ... As I said in the August issue, ever meant the periods of time, and the translators knew the scriptures use a time period word, in this instance. And is the scripture word. It denotes the longest segment of time, but never denotes endless duration. The plural of the word is used in Luke 1:33. He shall reign for the end. Evidently not seeing it is plural, or else not knowing how to express it, the translators did the best they could, and said he will reign forever. To them, this did not mean without end. The King James Version, based largely on earlier translations, follows this reading. It is inadequate, for there is no way for the reader to know when one and is meant, and when more than one are meant. But we will at least not be led far astray if we remember that forever does not denote endless duration, even thought we may not know whether or not more than one ever is under consideration. Proof that forever is not endless may be found in Exodus 21:6. There it is said that a servant shall serve his master forever. Did the translators think this means endless duration? No. They would have to be lunatics to believe such a thing. I repeat, ever is a period of time, in that case, the life of a man. An, which should be rendered into English as aeon, denotes a much longer period of time than the age of a man. But the thought is, it is a time period, and what is said of it may be applied to any part of an aeon, or to the whole aeon, depending on the context. For the aeon, in Exodus 21:56, is only a few years. For the aeon in PS 110:5, and Hebrews 5:6, 6:20 and 7:17:21, is for the whole aeon. In those passages it is said that Christ is a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Since the function of priesthood is to bring mankind to God, it naturally follows that if Christ is a priest endlessly, his priesthood is a failure, he never succeeds. But the Greek says he is a priest for the aeon. his priesthood will end, because it will be successful. Forever, in Paul's writings, should be expressed as follows, Rome. 1:25, who is blessed for the aeons? Rome. 9:5, Christ ampersand number 151, who is over all, God blessed for the aeons? Rome. 11:36, to him be glory for the aeons? 2:9:9, his righteousness remains for the aeon? Philemon. 15, that you may have him as an aeonian repayment. In regard to Rome. 1:25, blessed does duty for a word that may be properly translated, eulogized. The Creator is to be eulogized ampersand number 151, that is, praised highly or commended ampersand number 151 for the aeons. No one doubts that the eulogy will continue after the aeons, but that is not the point here. It is to be done even during the aeons. Rome. 9:5 tells us that Christ is to be eulogized by God for the aeons. In other words, God is so well pleased with him that he praises him highly and commends him. The passage says nothing about what shall be done after the aeons. In 2:9:9 we see that the righteousness of God in giving to the drudges continues for the aeon. The entire passage, when properly translated, reads, Now God is able to lavish all the grace on you, that, having all the contentment in everything always, you may be superabounding in every good work, according as it is written, He scatters, He gives to the drudges. His righteousness remains for the aeon. In this passage, only the present aeon is under consideration. It is in the present aeon that Paul's ministry on earth shall continue. And in that ministry is the blessed promise that those who judge shall not be left without reward, even in this life. The reward is contentment, verse 8. The drudges may not have material wealth, but they shall have spiritual riches. Drudging in the work for the glory of God and for the relief of His saints is what is under consideration, as we find in the verses preceding those I have quoted. It is a righteous thing for God to give contentment to such ones. He will continue to do it for the aeon. That the righteousness of God will never end, is not questioned. But what Paul wants to get over to us is, now, while we are drudging, God's righteousness in giving to us, is an operation. In regard to this word, everlasting, Paul treats it in this way. Remember, it is aeonian, in English. But the early translators used everlasting to mean, relating to time periods, even as we use aeonian. The latter is a more up-to-date rendering. When Christ comes, certain ones are to incur extermination in relation to the aeons ampersand number 151, not endless destruction ampersand number 151, for God will have all men to be saved, to these. 1:9. Compared with Itim. 2:3-6. Read these two passages and remember that the destruction is only in relation to the evers, and that God will save them at the end of the evers or aeons. While they are in a state of extermination, we shall be living with him. They will not live until the end of the evers. Ours is called by the early translators, everlasting consolation. In Itim. 6:16, Christ is living in light, and has honor and might in relation to the aeons or evers ampersand number 151 everlasting or aeonian. After the aeons he is subject to the Father. Now, when we need him so much, he has honor and might. In Rome. 6:22-23, the wages, ration, of sin is death. The gift of God is life in relation to the aeons or evers. While unbelievers are in the second death, we shall be having life. That they shall have it after the aeons, is taught in Icor. 15:22-28. We shall have it before that time. Here is introduced another word, eternal, but, as it is used interchangeably with everlasting, it denoted the same thing, to the translators. It came from the Latin, and was used to translate aeonian. Proof that it does not mean endless, is seen in the fact that it is said, Jude 7, that Sodom was burnt with eternal fire and Psalm number 151 fire that has long since ceased to burn. The translators would have been lunatics, indeed, to have used eternal here if they had thought it meant endless duration. In Galatians 6, 8, we, believers, reap aeonian life, or life in relation to the evers, if we have sown to the Spirit. This reaping is the joy of anticipation of living with Christ, not merely after the aeons, but during them, after He comes in the air for us. For His coming will be a long time before the aeons end. In Tim 1:16, those who become believers during this aeon, believe for aeonian life. Even unbelievers shall have life after the aeons are past. Return to main index page